Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Tuesday to you. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They take good care of you because they know that service and price mean everything to you. Thus, it means everything to them. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. The Sunbury Motors Studio is conveniently located in the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Mike Schmidt says that Jimmy Rollins belongs in the Hall of Fame conversation. And I agree with him, but he does belong in the conversation. Question is, does he have enough to put him over the top to get into baseball's Hall of Fame? On this, the anniversary of Ted Williams' 2,500th hit. So, Kevin Herr, who now lives by sabermetrics.
I live by the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I live by what I see with money on the table.
Well, yeah, I've heard that term before with you.
Yeah. Guess what? When it counts, what are you doing? Okay, I could have a whole bunch of... Okay. Let me give you an example. Bob Uecker always used to tell this joke.
Okay.
I hit a grand slam once. Big hit. Boy, really important in the game. Made the score 13-2. Okay. Hit a grand slam.
Well, it is a statistical number. Yeah, that's true.
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay.
Well, if you want to look at the statistics on this, and here's the big problem with Rollins. You look at three All-Star games, you think three All-Star games in 14 seasons isn't a whole lot. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's fan-voted.
Oh, God.
Now, I know you were going to laugh. I knew you were going to laugh.
Three All-Star games is good.
Yeah, okay. But Barry Larkin had a few more. And if you're going to compare him to Barry Larkin, you got to compare apples to apples. So Larkin had just a few more. But here's the problem. He's not beloved in Philadelphia at all anymore because of his antics on the field, as I was saying in the last half hour. He won 4 gold gloves in 14 seasons, which is pretty decent. The MVP in 07 and the Silver Slugger at shortstop. When you compare him with Larkin, he has more home runs, more doubles, more triples, more stolen bases. But here's the big thing that I think keeps him out of the Hall of Fame. Larkin's on-base percentage was .815. Rollins, .753. Part of that is because Rollins was swinging for the 400-footer more often.
You mean the OPS number.
Or the OPS number, right. I said on-base percentage. I meant the OPS number, yes.
Right.
Now, the one that I like the most and that surprised me the most is a sabermetrics number that is abbreviated as WAR.
Oh, I hate this
one. I knew you would hate this one. It is wins above replacement. Now,
nobody knows what that means.
It's a formula giving you the player's worth. Okay? This is, you know, how many wins would you give up? Or how many losses would you end up having if you had to replace this player on your roster? And there's a number of different, I mean, they put in offensive numbers, base running, defensive values, all to come up with this WAR number. And here's the problem. Larkin has a WAR number of 70.2, which means he's worth about 70 wins. Rollins is at 43. Now, if you look overall in baseball history, Larkin is in the top 100. Rollins is 414. That's going to be a big obstacle in an era where the baseball writers are looking at sabermetrics numbers. He also has a career on base percentage that we were talking about that I misspoke earlier. His on base percentage is .328.
Okay. This is why I don't think he'll get in. I think Jimmy Rollins is a really good player, but not a great player.
I also agree with
that. Okay. And we're done. Okay.
Well, but you have to look at this the way the writers will. And the writers will look at it from a numbers standpoint.
Who will?
The voters will look at it from a number standpoint.
How do you know that?
Because they're baseball writers. They live by the numbers.
No, they don't.
I disagree with you there. I respectfully disagree with you.
Depends on who it is. I'm sorry. A lot of people, like when I vote for things, I vote by feel.
I think you're in the minority now, though.
I don't think so. I think people who are around the game every single day look out and they see great and they see really good and they see okay. And it doesn't take much to look out and see, okay, Miguel Cabrera is great. Jimmy Rollins is really good. Okay, Will Middlebrooks is okay. How about that? Okay, there's your breakdown. Well, what kind of statistical genius do I have to be to look at Miguel Cabrera and go, he's great, to look at Jimmy Rollins and say, you know, he's really good, and to look at Will Middlebrooks and say he's okay.
Now, if you're going to compare him, if you're going to compare Rollins to Larkin the way Schmidt did, his thought is if Larkin is in the Hall of Fame, then Jimmy Rollins should be considered. Considered is the key word. He did not say he should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be considered. Rollins is a three-time All-Star, four Gold Gloves in 14 seasons, and won an MVP and a Silver Slugger. Larkin, 12 All-Star teams, nine Silver Sluggers, three Gold Gloves, and an MVP in 95.
Okay, who's better, Alan Trammell or Jimmy Rollins?
That's an interesting question.
Exactly. Now, look, I look at Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins this way. They're Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell. Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell were really, really good year after year after year after year with the Detroit Tigers. Neither one of them is going to be in the Hall of Fame. They're just really, really good. They're just not really, really great.
Well, okay, let's look numbers-wise when you're talking Rollins and Trammell now. Trammell hit 185 home runs in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So let's obviously I think Rollins is over 205. Rollins has hit 464 doubles to .412. Well, see, I think these numbers, this is the number that I think might help Rollins out. He has 109 triples in his career. I find that as a very impressive number.
Alan Trammell is not going to get to the Hall of Fame, and Jimmy Rollins isn't either. They're both in the really good category.
Yes.
Really good. Right? Hall of Fame is a step up from really good. Okay? Chase Utley, Lou Whitaker. Lou Whitaker's not going to make it. Lou Whitaker was a marvelous player.
I think Chase is a lock. But then again, I'm biased there.
For what? For what?
I think he's
for
a lot.
What?
Oh, for one statistic.
For the Hall of,
yes.
For the Hall of Fame?
I think he is. For one, and if nothing
Are
else, for one statistic,
me?
he's gotten hit by a pitch more than anybody in Major League Baseball.
Well, if that's the case, Don Baylor should be in.
I mean, that's a stat right there.
You think Chase Utley's a lock?
I do.
I think he's got no shot.
You don't think in 12 years with 221 home runs in 12 years that he doesn't have a shot? I mean, 835 RBIs in 12 years?
No.
I think that's a lot.
I don't think, Kevin, he won't get more than 40%.
Plus 500 plus walks in his career?
Who cares? I don't care. He doesn't. He misses like chunks of seasons with where he's out. I mean, he's really,
that's
really
very
good.
That's very
okay?
true.
He's not going to get there. He's not even going to get 40% of the vote.
And his slugging percentage is 500?
he's not going to get 40% of the vote. There's no way.
But I agree with you on the injury part. Can't deny that.
I'm telling you, this is Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell. Good, but not great. Chase Utley's not a great player.
So what does it take?
He's not the pantheon of the game.
So what does it take to get in the Hall of Fame now? Because I'm sorry, I don't think the bar for the Hall of Fame is the what it used to be.
Well, maybe not. But for example, I mean, there's certain guys that I look at. Pedro Martinez is a Hall of Famer. He's the dominant pitcher of his era. Mariano Rivera's a Hall of Famer. Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer. I think David Ortiz is a Hall of Famer. I mean, you want to compare careers. Okay, David Ortiz to Chase Utley. I mean, really? Really? They aren't even in the same category. And you're telling me he's a Hall of Famer?
I think he is. I don't think he's a first balloter, obviously.
No way. He'll never make it. Unless he somehow squeezes out five more years that I don't know about.
But then again,
he's not going to make it.
Then again, I also think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, okay, well, that's a different debate. You're talking about
Absolutely.
That's a totally different debate.
I think Mike Mussina deserves to be in the Hall.
Mike Mussina deserves heavy consideration. So does Andy Pettit. Curt Schilling deserves it, too.
Yes.
And Curt Schilling deserves it. Just like Burt Blyleven should have been in years ago. Technically, Tommy John should be considered. Tommy John had a long career.
Well, he had an impressive career after surgery.
He had over 250 wins in his career. All right? But, no, I... Wow. I never would have expected you to say Chase Utley.
Yeah, no. I do. But then again, like I said, I'm biased, so I could be looking at it with rose-colored glasses. I freely admit that.
Wow. No way. He's Lou Whitaker.
I was surprised Don Mattingly got as few votes as he has.
How about Jeff Kent?
Well, this year was what, his first year?
Yeah. He's going to make it. He's not going to make it.
It's not with 50 some votes.
Yeah. No. Chase Utley ain't going to make it either. Not. And if you asked me if I wanted Chase Utley on my team, absolutely. Would I be thrilled if he was my second baseman? Absolutely. Is he in the Hall of Fame? No.
What about Tim Raines? There's a guy that's been on the list for a while.
Okay, here's one for you. Willie Randolph. Let's keep it second baseman. Willie Randolph.
I don't know. That one I don't know.
Willie Randolph was a heck of a player all those years with the Yankees. Right in the center of everything that they were doing. Long career, really good career, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, you said something that I think is very important here. You said long career.
Yeah. But, I mean, certain careers are judged in certain ways. I mean, for example, Gale Sayers got in with a 5-year career in the NFL Hall of Fame. Right? I mean, I understand that. But, I mean, long career, that means something. Long career means something. I mean, look, there are really good players that people would have loved to have had over time. Baltimore Orioles fans, okay? How much did you love having John Boog Powell as your first baseman? But he was not a Hall of Famer. Davey Johnson, not a Hall of Famer, but a really good second baseman. Paul Blair was as magnificent a fielding center fielder as the game has ever seen. Hall of Fame? No.
Let me ask you, what do you think about Tim Raines? Here's a guy that's been on a list 7 years now.
Tim Raines, a good player.
Is he Hall of Fame? He had a long career. What was it, 20 years?
Tim Raines was to the National League what Ricky Henderson was to the American League.
Yeah, I would say that up until the 90s, maybe. Maybe the mid-90s.
But, you know, I mean, but you look at, I mean, there have been really good players over the years that just haven't made it. Okay? Dwight Evans was a really, really good player. But he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. But he was really good. When Roberto Clemente passed away, Dwight Evans inherited the role of being the right fielder with the best arm, who hit with power, the whole thing, hit in the clutch, the whole deal. Okay? If you gave me a choice between Chase Utley and Dwight Evans, even though they're different positions, I'd pick Dwight Evans.
I'd pick Dwight Evans, too.
But Dwight Evans isn't going to go to the Hall of Fame, Kevin. He's not going to go to the Hall of Fame.
That's a good question.
Hall of Famer.
That's a good question. Who do you think deserves to be in the Hall of Fame that isn't? And then state your case for it.
I mean, there's certain guys where it took Jim Rice a while, and Jim Rice, one of the best hitters ever. I mean, Jim Rice was not just a power hitter. He was a 300 career hitter. I mean, look at Fred Lynn. Fred Lynn, marvelous, marvelous player. Biggest mistake he ever made was leaving Boston and going to the Angels, because Fenway Park was built for his swing. But he was a marvelous player. But he's never going to get in. Never. Chase Utley will never get more than 40%. Never.
By the way, you were talking about Alan Trammell. I was just looking back. Alan Trammell has never even hit 40% of the vote in 13 years. 13 or 14 years of eligibility.
Exactly. What about Lou Whitaker?
I'll look for that one. I just happened to come across that one. Well, you know, we were talking earlier. We said,
But the reason I bring up Whitaker is he's a second baseman like Utley.
Right.
And I am not believing. If somebody were to tell me today that Chase Utley was my second baseman, okay, I'd be thrilled. But now we're talking about a different animal here. Okay? Hall of Fame is great. Transcending the game. Then there's the really good category. Okay? And then there's, okay, I'm functional, good enough to be in the major leagues. There are a lot of guys that fall into that really good category. Jimmy Rollins falls into it. Chase Utley falls into it. Gary Matthews fell into it. Gary Maddux fell into it. Okay? Really good players. But Gary Maddux isn't a Hall of Famer. Gary Matthews wasn't a Hall of Famer. Okay? But really, really good. Look at Dick Allen. Dick Allen had a marvelous career. Yeah, fiery at times, but between the Phillies and the White Sox and whatever, he had a marvelous career. Power, the whole deal. Right? The only way he's going to the Hall of Fame is if he goes to Cooperstown and tickets are available.
You know what the difference between, like, Whitaker? You had mentioned Whitaker at second base. The reason he's not in the Hall may have to do with the fact that guys like Ryan Sandberg actually was on a bad team and really shined, but Whitaker was on a good Tigers team that didn't give him a chance to shine.
Say that again?
Like, Whitaker was very consistent.
All right. Yeah.
But he didn't shine because he was on some good Tigers teams, where Ryan Sandberg, who was on bad Cubs teams, did, because he was on a bad Cubs team. He was the star.
I guess. Yeah, I guess. I mean, Andre Dawson was the MVP one year on a last place Cubs team.
Right. You know, when you got a lot of guys around you that are talented, sometimes you don't stand out as much historically as a guy like a Ryan Sandberg would, because he played for so many bad teams.
Maybe, yeah, maybe to a point. I remember, for example, we always thought highly of Antoine Randall when he played quarterback in Indiana, because he was the one guy he had to stop.
I don't think he's getting into the Hall of Fame.
Well, of course not. I'm just saying, though. But he stuck. But my point is, he stuck out on a team that was a bad team. You're like, oh my goodness, you know. You didn't sit there and go, hey, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Shane Conlon just made the College Football Hall of Fame. He's a 2-time All-American, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's a very difficult thing. Yeah, I know some people that, you know, you have 10 votes. Yeah, you're allowed to vote for 10 different players. And, you know, many writers do use all 10 votes in different combinations. But you think over time about the different players, for example, that were really, really good, but weren't good enough to get into the Hall of Fame.
Dave Parker.
I mean, Dave Parker, really good player, not good enough. Cleon Jones, really good, not good enough. Jimmy Rollins, I think, falls in that category. Chase Utley falls into that category. I mean, you can go on and on with different guys who are just really good during the course of their career. Boog Powell was really good, not good enough, okay? Paul Blair, especially in the field, unbelievable. Willie Randolph, okay? Really, really good, but not good enough. It took Blylevin forever to get in. He had 287 wins. Fred Lynn, really good, not good enough. Don Baylor, really good, not good enough. Bobby Gritch, really good, not good enough. Gritch was good with the Orioles, he was good with the Angels, but not good enough. And you have to be, to get there, you have to be exceptional. And Chase Utley is really, really good, and Jimmy Rollins has been very good, but neither one has been exceptional. It's the way it goes. I mean, Sal Bando, marvelous third baseman on those three A's championship teams. Joe Rudy. Okay. They in the Hall of Fame? Bert Campaneris. Hall of Fame? No.
What a great
But they're all really, really good, though. Joe Rudy, Sal Bando, and Bert Campaneris were all really, really good. Are any of them in the Hall of Fame or even get close? No, they were just really good ball players. Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley are really good ball players.
Okay, so now you've told me that Chase Utley's not going to make the Hall and Jerome Bettis isn't going to make the Hall. Is there anything else you'd like to do to crush my whole belief in youth?
They're both really good players, though. That's my point. I'm not putting them down as a player. I'm saying there's a threshold of greatness that has to be achieved.
Chase Utley doesn't make the Hall. I'm not going to the Hall of Fame again. That should make the difference.
Well, I can see the meeting right now. Well, just scratch him off the list.
I just sealed his fate, didn't I?
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, so you're telling me that Tim Raines' WAR number was higher than what Hall of Famers?
Oh, we were talking during the break about Tim Raines not being in the Hall of Fame. We went back to the Sabermetrics numbers, and his WAR number... Ugh. I know. Yeah, I could feel the chill from the Sunbury Motors studio. His WAR number is 162 about 4,500. That puts him 55 spots ahead of Hall of Famers that include Brooks Robinson, Tito Yount, Reggie Jackson, Eddie Murray, Ernie Banks. Those are some pretty impressive names, but he's sitting on the outside looking in and has to pay to get into the Hall of Fame.
First of all, let's take Brooks Robinson, just for an example.
Okay.
When big plays were needed, Reggie Jackson, when big plays in big moments were needed.
Money on the table, as it were.
You need a determining factor. That's why postseason play is so important. Okay, Ernie Banks doesn't have that. Okay, Ernie Banks does not have that. And I only saw Ernie Banks play first base. I never saw him play shortstop. So I never saw any of that stuff. All right, so that's not... So I really can't tell you whether or not, when it comes to Ernie Banks versus Tim Raines, because Tim Raines, to me, is more Ricky Henderson.
Well, I think that's a fair comparison. I mean, he's one of eight players to reach base 4,000 times, score 1,500 runs, and 500 stolen bases.
Right. Tim Raines, to me, should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. As for WAR, okay... Money's on the table. Who do I want? Brooks Robinson, Tim Raines, or Reggie Jackson? Well, guess who's finishing third?
Well, when you have a, when you're nicknamed after the month where a lot of the big playoff games were held, I think he would be one at the top of the list.
Right. I mean, and that's, you know, and he did that based on four really good World Series.
Right.
Four really good postseasons, 73, 74, I guess 78.
I was going to ask about 78.
Three really. That's it. Because, you know, his other postseasons were, you know, people, like, when the A's won the 72 World Series, you know he didn't play, right?
I did not know that.
Fifth game of the playoff against the Detroit Tigers, he slides into home and he hurt his knee. George Hendrick was the right fielder for the Oakland A's in the 72 World Series, and the A's won in seven games.
Steve, Dick from Milton on the line to join the conversation.
Hey, Dick, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Enjoying your conversation on this. I just wanted to actually have a comment on the world, on your Hall of Fame guys. But I actually wanted to make a correction yesterday on the wrestling with Bob Buehner, where we were talking about Kyle Dake. He actually did lose a match at Bucknell to Kevin LaValle in the IWAs. That's the last call. He didn't lose many college matches at all, but it was pretty significant. I just wanted to mention that fact. It was his sophomore year in the IWA final,
right.
anyhow.
Right.
But I wanted to listen on this Hall of Fame thing. Do you? And this is just my perspective of this. I think it's easier to make the Hall of Fame other than players played in Chicago, which historically, other than the White Sox, have won some stuff. The Cubs never win, don't participate. Mm-hmm. They're almost non-participants in the World Series. But for example, Oakland, as many times as they've been in the World Series, but by and large, they don't get the publicity that you would if you played in Cincinnati, in St. Louis, in Detroit, in New York City, or in Boston. That's why I don't think you'll see a lot of guys make the Hall of Fame for the Colorado Rockies, the Arizona Diamondbacks, Tampa Bay, Toronto, because they don't have that publicity. I think a guy can have not as good a career and play in a city like play for the Yankees or the Red Sox and get a lot more publicity and have a better chance of getting in the Hall of Fame than a guy that plays, obviously, for the Cubs. And that's my perspective of that.
Well, let's take Colorado, for example. I would think that there are two Hall of Fame-worthy guys that you look at from Colorado. Todd Helton is one. Todd Helton had himself a marvelous career, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Hall of Fame voters treat him. The other guy is currently playing, and that's Troy Tulowitzki, who has a chance to be a Hall of Fame player. More and more, okay, now, for example, you talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks. Well, Randy Johnson, I think, is going to make it, and Curt Schilling, I don't know whether he'll make it or not, but Schilling and he were both big, big parts of what they did. Luis Gonzalez is not a Hall of Fame-worthy player, and neither is Mark Grace. All right? So, I mean, to me, I think you have to. I think more and more writers have the ability to look at this. Now, you're correct about postseason, but guess what? They make it. I mean, part of it is making it to postseason play, and if you make it, then you can make a mark in postseason play. And so, when you're talking about, like, take for example, you mentioned the Red Sox. Well, Ortiz is going to get. It's going to be one of those really interesting cases because there's never been a DH elected. Ever. And that's what he is. He's strictly a designated hitter, except where once in a while he's forced to be a hostage and play first base on the National League Park. So he's going to be a really interesting test case in this. I think Todd Helton, to me as a Hall of Fame worthy player, is going to be a really interesting case to test out your theory.
Well, I'll give you an example. Oakland obviously had a long and a storied run as a World Series team and with good baseball players, excellent players, but they don't get the publicity that the San Francisco Giants get in that city. To me, that's just the way it is. So I think if you have a good career for the Giants, you have a better chance of making the Hall of Fame than you do for Oakland, for whatever the reason. I just think some teams get overlooked in a sense, and some of their players get overlooked. And that's just my perspective on that. That's why I think you'll always see guys that have a good career with the Yankees. I won't count the Phillies. I mean, guys could have a good career in Philadelphia.
No.
But it's just easier to make the Hall of Fame, it seems, if you play for certain teams. That's just me. I mean, you could go back and count the guys up, I guess.
Well, yeah, there'll be more Yankees because of the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Sure. But now, if you looked at the ballots now, I mean, how many guys played in certain cities as opposed to other cities? I mean, I don't pay that much attention to it, but I just think that there's guys that don't get that kind of publicity, they don't get that kind of notoriety. Their teams, even though once in a while they might go to the World Series or they're in the playoffs. But it seems to me if you come out of St. Louis or Boston or New York City or the Dodgers, you're going to have a better shot at getting in the Hall of Fame eventually than if you played for Toronto, Tampa Bay. I guess Miami has a team, don't they? But that's just me thinking about it.
You know what, Dick? I think on the surface it's an interesting theory, but I don't think it's – I'm not so sure it holds water. And here's the reason why. You talk about the three great Oakland teams that won three straight World Series, and they had, what, two guys get in?
Catfish Hunter, I guess.
Raleigh Fingers, Catfish Hunter, the third guy's Reggie Jackson.
Right.
Reggie Jackson got in for both Oakland and New York. He got in for both, really. But you to look at, for example, I've mentioned several guys that have played for the Yankees, for Tino Martinez, Willie Randolph, Thurman Munson, you know. They're not going to make the Hall of Fame. They're not in it. They were really good players. Now you look at a guy like Robbie Alomar, okay, Baltimore, Toronto, okay, and a little bit with Cleveland. Okay. Now, it took up a little bit because of the incident with John Hirschbeck, but he made it in. Bert Blyleven took a long time with several teams like the Pirates, the Twins, and so forth. He finally made it in. I think you don't see an overabundance. Like, for example, look at the great infield of Steve Garvey, okay, Ron Say, Bill Russell, and who was the second baseman? Was it Sachs?
Yeah.
Or Davey Lopes. It was Davey Lopes.
Or Lopes, okay.
Okay. Okay. All really, really good. But none of them made the Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's not easy to get in. It should be easy to get in.
It should not. I think it's more equitable and has nothing. I mean, okay, the case of a David Ortiz is made easier for him because of what he did on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
The case for Derek Jeter, which is an easy one, but still made because, again, easier because of what he did in the biggest stage. And he had this big stage a lot in his career. St. Louis Cardinals, I mean, what St. Louis Cardinals of late have been making it? The Cardinals have been built around really good players, but not great players. And I don't see a Hall of Fame player except maybe Molina behind the plate. It's been a really good run for them. Holiday's not. Alan Craig's really good, but not. There isn't a pitcher that on that staff in the last 10 years.
What about your first baseman that went to the California?
Pujols. That's different. Pujols has had a great career. He's had 500-plus home runs.
Right, but he did play in St. Louis a long time.
Right, you're right, but he had over 500 home runs. I mean, statistically, you got to look at him. Anybody who hits 500 home runs is going to get noticed. As to what they've done. So I think, you know, it's not automatic. I mean, we've mentioned a lot of good players. For example, Curt Schilling had himself a really, really good career. In postseason, Game 7, I would not hesitate to hand him the ball in Game 7 with an 11-2 career record in postseason. And that's with the Phillies, Arizona, and Boston, right? I mean, you want him to have the ball, but he's going to struggle to get in the Hall of Fame.
I think it's the way it's set up now. It's hard to get in, and it should be hard to get in. It should be reserved for just the very best ball players. I've been an Oriole fan forever. Does Mike Mussina get in? I don't know. Not on the strength of not if he played in Baltimore his whole career, he probably wouldn't. But he's going to get in for playing for the Yankees, I think. If he gets in at all.
But here's one for you. Okay, why isn't Don Mattingly in?
I don't know.
He played the Yankees. He played with the Yankees.
Oh, they've had great players. They've had. You know, I almost hate to tell you that. It's kind of like me telling you that Notre Dame had great players.
Right. But Don Mattingly is not going to get into the Hall of Fame, and he was a really, really good major league player.
I just think
that there's not quite the bias people think there is towards certain cities. I think they look at them at a lot of guys vote for 10 guys, you know, Dick. They vote for 10 guys, and it's all over the board as to who they vote for. I mean, look, I'll tell you a guy that when his name comes up should really be seriously thought of, and that's Pudge Rodriguez.
No doubt about that. I mean, I don't know, basically. You're naming a lot of guys that probably should get in before Jimmy Rollins.
Jimmy Rollins is in the really good category. Utley's in the really good category, but there's a cut line between really good and being in Cooperstown. Ron Santo was really good. All right. I mean, you can go on and on with a bunch of guys over the years that were really good, but they're not going to go over the top. Kent Herbeck was really good, but he's not going to get over the top. Mudcat Grant was a really good. Jim Cott was a really good pitcher, but guess what? He's not going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, there's a lot of guys aren't going to get in. I agree with you there. I still think that it's kind of like on the All-Star team. That's why when they announce the All-Star teams, they have to take somebody from every team. They wouldn't take some of those guys if they didn't have to. They just have to.
Oh, there's no,
They just have to put somebody on, and that's why basically the teams that have the better teams, or in this case, the more publicity, that's they get the votes, and the fans vote for that. But that's why you see so many from the Yankees or the Red Sox, or, you know, in this case, or certain teams get a lot of guys on the All-Star team, whether they deserve it or not, in a sense. Hell, they have guys that that didn't hardly even play because they were on the injured list, and, you know, on the DL, and still got voted into the starting team, almost to the starting team of the All-Star team. So that's kind of a farce in a sense there. I guess that's my point.
I totally agree with you on that when it comes to the fan vote. Oh, yeah, but here's the irony. In 1950, I want to say seven, one team had seven starters voted to the All-Star team, and that's why they stopped the fan voting. Guess which team?
In what year?
1957.
57, it had to be a New York team, probably the Yankees or the...
The Cincinnati Reds.
Cincinnati, really?
Yeah. You know, and that, again, that's, you know, so I understand the New York-Boston bias, but I think that what happens is that you have writers spread all over the country, right? They aren't all just concentrated in one area. You have writers from Los Angeles, Seattle, Houston, okay? They're all over the place. Just like, for example, when we vote for all Big Ten, there's two of us in each market that votes. So Penn State has two people representing its team. There are two at Ohio State as well. So when it comes to the Hall of Fame balloting, they're spread all over the place.
Well,
it depends what you and it depends on what you see on what day.
Well, I'll give you an example, and then I'm going to let it go at that. This has really not as much to do with the Hall of Fame as it does to certain cities. If you looked at the Sunday night baseball game of this year and see how many times the Tampa Bay or the Colorado Rockies were on, as opposed to the Yankees, the Red Sox, the whatever, St. Louis, Chicago Cubs, they put them on because they play the Cardinals a lot. But my point is there's those certain teams get major, they get on MLB, they get on ESPN baseball, Sunday night baseball, and the other guys don't get a lot of, nobody sees them unless they have, a lot of people have a dish or get MLB network themselves or stuff like that. I guess that's my point. Some people never see that guys play, hardly at all.
You're absolutely right about that. And
the
name of the
never
game.
See anybody. You wouldn't even know they had a team half the time, other than the fact that somebody's in the, you know, if you looked at the standings, geez, they still have a baseball team. I guess that's my point. There's certain teams that get on almost all the times, exclusively. And they do that because that's who watches them. So
check out the Sunday night football schedule. How many times are the Jacksonville Jaguars on?
Not very often.
The name of the game is ratings.
I understand, so and money. That's how they sell their product. I understand that too.
No doubt.
That's just my perspective of it. I think if you play in a bigger city, you get more publicity down the line. People say, "Geez, that guy played for the Yankees. He played for the Red Sox. It didn't matter how good he really was at times." But I guess that's my point. All right, let's go. Thanks.
I agree, Dick. Thanks so much. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You didn't know Reggie Jackson played for the Orioles, did you?
I didn't remember that. I had him. I had his baseball card as an A and a Yankee, but I did not know there was a stint with the Orioles.
Yes, there was 1 year.
And I want to correct something I said earlier, too. I referred to his big year in the series as being 78. That was an okay year, so it was 77 that was the big year of the series.
Yes. Drafted by the Kansas City A's, my man.
That I knew,
Second overall pick in the draft.
67?
Yep. Well, covered some interesting ground today. Brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto Home Life Business Insurance. Service and price mean everything to them. They mean everything to you. Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. For Kevin Herr, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us today on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. CBS News is next.